Good afternoon. This is Harold Franklin, pastor of New Creation Christian Center. We're located at 7728 Rainier Avenue South. We have services on Saturday at 7 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. Please come out and join us. You'll be encouraged by the Word of God. You'll be stirred by the presence of God, and you'll witness the power of God in your life. So we look forward to seeing you in the future real soon. God bless you. God nature. Okay, it's very important. We don't become God. We become like Jesus in obedience, submission, surrender, and also acts when it comes to things of the Spirit. But let's look at chapter 4, and you can see some of the things that Jesus shows us that we're supposed to do because of what he's done for us. So the first thing is that we see that acting under God's authority, Jesus defeated the devil. Now, many people, you know, these days, you know, they're too sophisticated to believe in the devil. But if Jesus believed in the devil, I guarantee you there is a devil. I mean, Jesus didn't waste time doing things that weren't important. Amen? So we go to Matthew chapter 4, verses 4 through 10, and it says, but he answered, and this is, well, actually, let's go to the verse 3. It says, now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give the angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdom of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now we know this as the temptations of Christ. But what is the consistent theme that Jesus used to rebut everything the devil said? Huh? It is written. Is that what you said, Philip? So, and what is he quoting here? Now, is that John's letter or Paul's letter, or what letter was he quoting from? The Old Testament. So he took what most people don't even want to read now. That's the Old Testament. We are in the New Testament. Well, Jesus used the power of the word of the Old Testament to defeat the devil. And he quotes, you know, Deuteronomy was the first part, Deuteronomy 8:2, I believe. 8:3, excuse me, is the verse that he talks about, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So what is he telling the devil? Well, first of all, let's look at the devil's tricks. What does he use to try to throw Jesus off? Now, notice that he did not use anything against Jesus that he had not used against Adam and Eve. Okay? And he says, he starts it with the question. And that's what he did with Eve. Did God really say you couldn't eat that tree? Remember that? So he starts it with a question with Jesus. He says, if, everybody say if, what does if do? Or what's the purpose of if? It creates doubt. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Now if Jesus was into proving he was the Son of God, then he would have fell for that one, right? But what did he say? He says, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, from the mouth of God. Now, why is that significant that he did not respond to the devil's if? Yeah, okay, that's true. But see, if he had responded to the if, who is the originator of this thought? Huh? The devil. So instead of being led by the what? Spirit, he'd have been led by, and right away he would have fallen. Are you with me here? He created the if so that if Jesus wasn't sure, he would fall for his trick and he would have fallen. But you notice that Jesus does not even respond to the if question. He responds to it by telling him, man doesn't live by bread alone. You want me to turn this rock into a bread, but I don't live by bread. I live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So what is he telling him? I don't listen to what you say. I listen to what God tells me to do. And God didn't tell me to command that stone to be made bread, so I'm not doing it. That's what he's telling the devil. And then the next one says the same thing. If you be the Son of God, jump down from this mountain. In other words, go ahead and kill yourself, because, you know, after all, you're the Son of God. You just float on down the mountain. You just kind of float. The angels will come and catch you and... But if that might have been the case if God told him to jump, right? But when the devil tells him to jump, guess what? There is no parachute for Jesus to jump off the temple pinnacle. He was going to be dead, and it was because he listened to who? And he said the same thing. It's written, don't tempt God. Don't tempt the Lord your God. And then the last one, he says, oh, and this is where the devil wants us. Oh, I'll give you everything you ever need or want if you would just bow down and worship me. Now, see, the devil, sometimes you wonder if he's very bright. Because he's talking to the Son of God that made everything. And you're going to give the Son of God everything? Buddy, this is my stuff that you're trying to give me. That's like a thief coming into your house and then walking around the block and say, hey, do you want to buy this? They say, hey, that's mine. Where'd you get that? Do you want to buy it? He just responds, man, look. Let me tell you what God said. He says, God says you shall not worship anybody but him. So you're not getting any worship here. And that's a person that's perfectly led. Now let me, you know, if you think about all these things, Jesus was hungry because the verse 2 says he had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Well, to be honest with you, after you fasted that long, sometimes food, you don't even want to eat food. Because it's like, is food? Do they still make food? It's like, your body's like shut down. He said, we're dead anyway, so what difference does it make? You know, eat or not eat. It don't matter now. We're just dead anyway. But obviously, he was hungry. And he's coming off his fast, so he wants to eat something. So he comes to him at a point where he had a desire or a need and tried to tempt him with the need. Now, think about our own personal lives. That's how he comes to us when we have a need. Or say, for instance, you need to pay a bill. Just use something real simple. And you don't have the money. Everybody say amen. Because we all been there, right? And then the devil says, well, if you just go and do this, you'll get the money. And you know it's wrong. In some cases, it's even illegal, but you might get some money to take care of that immediate need. And because you were led by the voice of the, and not God, you've fallen. So what should we do in that situation? We should take the word and say, no, I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z. I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to cheat anybody. But the Bible says that he will meet all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If I'm faithful in what I know I'm supposed to be faithful in, Lord, I've paid my tithes. I've given my offerings. You said you would cause people to give unto my bosom. That's how you fight that temptation. You might say, well, what if the money doesn't come when you need it? Trust God anyway. Because God's deadlines are not world's deadlines. He comes through beyond deadlines. Matter of fact, he can change deadlines. When they say you got to have it by Friday, and you don't have it by Friday, and if you're upstanding and you're right and you're calling them and say, look, I can't pay it Friday. I'm calling because I don't have it. Or do you have any suggestions? The Bible says that when you, well, I can't remember the passages in Proverbs, but it talks about those that are trying to get a favor have to use gracious or soft words or have to come humbling themselves. So if you humble yourselves, many times the bill collectors will say, okay, we can give you a few more days, Mr. Franklin or whomever. But if you got a bad attitude, I ain't got no money, I ain't going to get no money. Now what you going to do? Now, sometimes you have to do that too, but not always. If it's something you want to keep, you probably don't want to do that. But you have to humble yourself and trust God to make a way. Amen? And I know sometimes that's hard because we can't see God. God ain't saying nothing. I can't hear God. But if you trust God, and that's why it's called a walk of what? Faith. You can't see it. You can't touch it. You can't smell it. You can't taste it. But you have to know it's there. You have to know he's there. The Bible says he that comes to God must, everybody say must. What does a must mean? That means you have to. You have to believe that he is. And it didn't stop there. It says, and he is a rewarder. Everybody say rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, what does it mean to be rewarded? You find somebody's dog, you take them to the person that was looking for him, they say, hey, you're going to get a reward. What's that mean? What's a reward mean? They're going to give you something of value. Am I right? Usually money. You know, a lot of people these days, boy, these dog stuff, man, I'm not sure what's going on in the world, but folks got dog. I mean, ladies carrying the dog in the grocery store. I was like, Lord, help us. Now, I can understand taking the dog to PetSmart. That's a dog store. But the guy, man, he had a dog on a chain trying to sneak the dog into Fred and Meyer. I said, no, Lord, this has gone way too far, man. But people, and the people will pay you big money to get their dog and cats back. You can make a living just trying to find all the posted cats and dogs. Hey, oh, that's a $500. I'm going to find that cat. I can pay my phone bill with that one. But the point is, God says that he will reward you if you, first of all, believe that he is and know, and you diligently seek him. He will reward you. Amen? So that means you have to endure. You have to push through. The second thing we see that Jesus did is that then when we see that he announced that the kingdom of God was come, which was the announcement that God's rule was being reestablished on the earth. And that's right after, and this is in the same fourth chapter, right after he defeats the devil, He announces that the kingdom of God is here. So verse 17 says this, for that time, well, no, actually he goes to the synagogue and he reads the from the prophet Isaiah. And after he finishes reading that, well, let's actually read verses 14 through 16, down to 17. It says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the land of Zion. Oh, no, that's not what I thought it was. Excuse me, let's go to 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Everybody say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, what is the kingdom of heaven? There's so many books written on the kingdom of heaven. You got cults that have established the kingdom of heaven. You go, what is the kingdom of heaven? It's simply this. God's rule established on earth through his people. That's all it is. It's not a building. It's not a program. It's God's people submitting, excuse me, to the rule of him on the earth. And Jesus was the beginning of that rule. Are you with me? So all of us that are in the body of Christ now, and statistics say there's over a billion Christians, that's all denominations, that's Catholic, Protestant, etc., that are in the body of Christ. So a billion people are supposed to be allowing God's ruling authority over their lives to be manifested in the earth to change the circumstances of earth. That's what the kingdom is designed to do. It's supposed to preach the gospel, demonstrate the gospel, change the hearts and minds of people so that now, when we were once sinners, now that we're righteous and born again, and now we are led by the Spirit. That's the whole purpose of the kingdom of God. And so Jesus announces that the kingdom of God is here. Amen? Then the next thing we see Jesus do after this, in the same fourth chapter, verses 23 through 24, Jesus begins to exercise authority over sicknesses, diseases, and demons. Why? Does anybody want to answer that? Why? Because the kingdom, come on, of God has come. That's why he exercises authority over sickness and disease and demons. Let's look at verse 23 and 24. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogue and preaching what? Of what? Of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. So you see that now, first of all, he defeated the devil in temptation. Secondly, he defeats, he announces that the kingdom of God has come. And then thirdly, he begins to exercise authority over the manifestations of the fallen man. Sickness and demon possession were all manifestations of the fall. Are you with me on that? So Jesus being God, is now reestablishing man's rule over the elements and the things that have affected him because he's now submitted to and surrendered to the Spirit of God. Amen? And this is, so the next thing we see, and let's jump to verse, chapter 8, verse 23 through 27, in Matthew still. The next thing Jesus does is he begins to exercise authority over the elements. Verse 8, 23 through 27. And we all know this story, right? Now, when Jesus, he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." But he said to them, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, "Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him?" So Jesus exercised authority over the elements, the weather. Why? Because the kingdom of God had come. And a person that's totally surrendered to God has authority even over the elements. Are you with me here? And you see this in the Old Testament. Elijah told what? Said what? He says, "It's not going to rain for 3 years here." Remember that? And what did it do? It didn't rain for 3 years there. Because why? God told him to say that. So when you're submitted to the kingdom authority or the authority of God, you can speak to the wind and the waves. I remember years ago, they made fun of Pat Robertson because he prayed and asked the tornado to turn from the coast of Virginia. And the tornado turned from the coast of Virginia. And they mocked him. "Who does he think he is? Who does he think he's, what does he think he is? Does he think he's Jesus?" This is about 15, 20 years ago. And no, he thought exactly who he knew he was. A man under the authority of God has the ability to speak to a tornado and tell it to turn, if that's what God told him to do. Now you might say, "Ooh, man, I don't know about that. That's a lot of power." No, it's only a lot of power because it's God's power. Because Pat Robertson has no extra power. Are you with me here? There's no special thing about Pat. But what he did do was exercise authority over something that God gave him permission to exercise authority over. And that's the key. God has to give you that permission. But he does give us almost a blanket permission in the Bible, if we know and can hear his voice. Are you guys with me? See, and So we see that Jesus exercised the authority over this. And then finally, in Matthew 14, the ultimate of all authority, also he exercised it again in Acts 1:9, but we'll just deal with Matthew 14. 14 verses 25 through 31. It says, Jesus defies the laws of gravity or the laws of physics. We know what he's talking about. We're not talking about. Verse 25 says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them doing what?" Now, how many have walked on the water? Please raise your hand. I remember somebody, I was in a church and they asked, "How many have walked in water?" This little kid raised his hand. He says, "Yeah, you walked on water?" He says, "Yeah, I walked in the puddle." I said, no, that's walking in water, not on water. But notice that Jesus, it says he came to the third watch walking on the sea. But see, the story doesn't stop there. Let's read on. It says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, so now he's got witnesses, okay? So it wasn't like Jesus walked on the water and nobody saw him. And then he tried to convince him. Did you know yesterday I was walking on the water? Now, you know nobody would have believed him, right? Jesus, come on. Now, Jesus, we know you're the Son of God, but come on, man. So he has witnesses. So they see him walking on the water, and they're troubled. They say, oh, it's a ghost. But Jesus says, nope, it's me. And they cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, or don't be afraid. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter, everybody say, Peter, and answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Now, we've all heard this story, right? Now, what is Peter saying? Please, Jesus, back to what we said. The kingdom of God has come. Jesus didn't listen to the devil, but he listened to what every word that came from what? The mouth of God, or was led by the Spirit. Peter asked Jesus a very important question. Now notice that Peter asked the same question the devil asked him. If it's you, command me to come. And Jesus says what? Come. And based on that word, what did Peter do? He walked on the water. Are you guys with me here? Are you really with me? Because Peter cannot walk on water, people. And we see that he has a little trouble later on as he's walking. So let's go on. Let's see what happens. It says, Lord, if that is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come out of the boat, everybody say, walked on the water to go to Jesus. All right? So he's walking. And then it says, but, everybody say, but. And we know this is what we all live in. We live in the buts. Jesus said, come. He didn't say the water's as smooth as glass. He just said, come. Didn't he? And he starts walking, and Peter looks around. He says, but immediately Jesus, verse 30. He says, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Everybody say he was afraid. And began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Now, that sounds like all of us. When we're going down, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Please help me. I'm not going to make it here. And in this case, well, you know, Peter could swim, by the way. I mean, we know in the book that Peter jumped out of the boat and swam to the shore. So Peter could swim. So what's he so scared about? He's scared because he started to walk by, he didn't walk by faith, but he walked by sight. Because that never, his word to say come didn't change. He didn't say come, but watch out for the wind. He didn't say that, did he? Or did I miss something? He just said, come on. So he starts walking, and then he looks around. And that's what we do. We hear God say, do this, or wait for me. I'll be there. And we look around. I don't see you. Where are you at? Now, that's bad English, but you pardon that. Where are you? I'm coming. He said, look, I can't wait no longer. I got to go do something because I can't wait for God anymore. And what happens? We end up doing something that we shouldn't have done if we had just been patient or just listened to the word we got. But of course, Jesus does save him. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, they didn't say that about Peter, but Peter walked too. So what am I saying? And then we'll have to close with this. If we get this, this helps us so much. The word of God is so powerful, and being led by the Spirit is so powerful that you can command the elements to obey you. You can do things that normal people can't do. You can lay hands on the sick. You can cast devils out. You can walk on water if the Spirit is leading you to do that. But if we rely on our own understanding, we will never do any of the stuff that Jesus said we could do. And notice I started this out by saying, greater works will you do because I go to where? My Father. So if we allow the kingdom of God to rule in our lives, if we submit to the rule of God's authority, we can do things that we could not imagine. And this is the extreme walk of faith. I put extreme in front of it. It should be the normal walk of faith. Because it's just plain obedience. But in this day and age, this is considered an extreme message. But all I'm telling you is if you do what Jesus said, like Peter did, you will do what Jesus told you you would do. It's that simple. But the danger is we're like Peter. All of us are like Peter. We're looking around. I don't see none of my friends doing it. Nobody else is. You know, you fill in the blank. And because of that, we won't do it. But it's not about who else heard it. Did you hear it? And if you heard it, act on it. And trust me, if you're, and this, the key is, of course, we have to be in obedience. And in order to be in obedience, we have to, the airways have to be clear, which means that there cannot be sin between he and you. So the Bible says if you hide iniquity in your heart, the Lord won't hear you. Okay? So we can't walk around thinking we're tricking people, because you can't trick God. That's the only thing you're doing is tricking people, because God is not tricked by your facade. I mean, you can dress it up, clean it up, make it smell nice. He still knows you're in sin. And you still stink no matter how much cologne you got on. So we have to make sure that we're right with him. And when we're right with him, we can do these exploits. And this, I know, like I said, this is all about submission. Everybody say submission. This is what this message is about. Submission and relationships. Let's stand. Anybody have a prayer request? Anybody have needs? Well, thank you very much for listening to the message. I hope your life was touched. I hope God spoke to your heart. If you want more messages, you can reach us at newcreationcc.blogspot.com, or you can go to itunes.com and download other podcast messages. Also, if you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is area code 206 206- 402-311-8. And our email address is newcreationcc@comcast.net. We look forward to hearing from you. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.